Welcome to the Should've Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Kelly Bidlin of A Numbers Game Long Shots podcast will join us. We'll go over some Super Bowl bets, get his thoughts, NBA trade deadline, Giannis, maybe some golf, Waste Management Open is this week. I know people like that tournament. But I will start with the NBA, and you know, as we record this, Giannis still has not been traded, and I still maintain that he probably won't be, and of course, by the time I record this, watch him be traded overnight, and this will all age poorly and sound stupid, but I go back to what I've been saying the past couple days, past couple shows. I just don't know which team matches up for all parties. You got to make Giannis happy and trade him to a team that's a championship contender. You've got to have a team that has enough to offer Milwaukee in terms of picks and young players. That's not easy. And you've got to be a team where, from your perspective, it's worth it, where we're going to pay the price for Giannis, and it's going to be a hefty price, despite the age, despite the injuries. And he's not old, but 31, he's you know, banged up, and he's hurt right now. You're going to have to give up a lot. Are you a Giannis away from winning a championship? If we get Giannis, can we realistically win the championship and make the finals? That's not that many teams. Not that many teams, if any teams, check those boxes. And the ones that do don't seem interested. The Spurs are one that I keep thinking is interested, or you know, would be or could be interested. Now maybe, and they don't seem to be. Maybe if you know, you get to the playoffs and they lost in five in the first round or something like that, that maybe that could be the team. You know, Rockets have some pieces. They don't seem interested in OKC. Not their style. They probably don't want to take on the age, the salary. And you're left with these teams, you know, Bulls and the Timberwolves and all these teams being discussed, the Knicks, the Warriors. You know, it's what I've been saying that I don't know. It'd be fun if he's traded. I kind of want to see a trade. I want to see a big splash. This is, you know, how many times can you talk about Seahawks and Patriots over a two-week span? It would give the league a little jolt. Last year, right around this time, we had the Luka trade. So I hope we get it, but we'll see. I do think the playoffs will be fun. And like I, if you guys know from listening to this podcast, regular season NBA basketball. And I don't think I'm alone here. From a night-to-night basis, unless you're betting it or betting the props or betting whatever you're betting, a lot of blowouts, the effort, and Tim Legler, who's their lead analyst, you know, called it out. The effort night-to-night just isn't there. But I think once you get to the playoffs, I mean, look at the West. OKC, Denver, Spurs, Rockets, Timberwolves, Lakers. I mean, that's six pretty good, exciting teams. If you get to a conference semifinals with OKC versus Denver in some form, you know, whether they match up in that round or not, you know, hopefully they match up in the conference finals if it gets that far, unlike last year. But Spurs, Rockets, you know, Luka with the Lakers, we'll see if they make a move. And Minnesota's really good, probably an underrated team. OKC right now, -115 to win the West. Nuggets, 3-1. Spurs, 9-1. Rockets, 10-1. T-Wolves, 15-1. And the Lakers, 20-1. Then you have the Clippers, 45-1. Not going to get into the Harden stuff. Sounds like he's on his way out. That was just very, very random, very out of nowhere, that report on Monday night that he's going to go to maybe the Cavs for Garland again. By the time you listen to this, maybe some of this stuff has been resolved one way or another. But that's a hell of a playoffs. And then the East, even though the East is very much the JV circuit, which it seems like it's been the case for a while now, Knicks are the short shot +320, despite the great record for the Pistons. Pistons are +360, Celtics +380. So you have those three teams bunched. And then you have the Cavs +450, the Sixers +950, in Orlando is 15-1, Miami 17-1, Toronto 25-1, Hawks 50-1. The Hornets creeping up there at 60-1. I think that playoff is exciting just because it's so, even though the teams aren't fun or exciting, it's so wide open. And one trade that I would read a little bit into, not that you make a bet off of it, but the Bulls trading Anthony Simons for Vucevic, the fact that they feel like they don't need Simons maybe is a hint that Tatum is coming back and maybe coming back sooner then later here, and that they felt Simons was expendable. And you know, who knows when he comes back? Is he Tatum, vintage Tatum right off the bat? Probably not. But even you know, 60, 70, 80% of him is something there. So if I had to bet any of these, I mean, the Knicks at +320, is that enough? I don't know. I'd like to see the Knicks back in the finals. I mean, it's been long enough. I thought they had a shot last year, and that Haliburton shot doesn't go in, and that lead doesn't get blown in game one against the Pacers. Who knows? Then they're never going to beat OKC, but I didn't think the Pacers were going to beat OKC, and they gave them a hell of a run. So who knows? Knicks are +320. Like I said, Pistons +360. I can't go down the Sixers road again. I've been there before. I know Embiid's played great. I just don't trust him to play three rounds. I'd probably just go with Boston at plus 380, but I don't feel like there's great value there. OKC has not played well, and boy, that threat to break the record, it's amazing. That was like 25-1. It got down to less than 200-1, and they just have not played great since, but they are still odds on to win the conference. Nuggets at plus 310. I think the Nuggets would be my bet. Spurs at 9-1. They still feel a year away, maybe a player away. They're just not quite there, but they're the prototypical dangerous team nobody wants to play. They give the Thunder nightmares. That would be a fun second round matchup if it's like the 1-4 and the Spurs draw OKC in round two. If it goes anything like it's gone in the regular season, that will be a rough series for the Thunder. So playoffs should be fun, but we still got a while to get there. Another month to March Madness, and then once you get to the conference tournaments, you can really start to get rolling, because the conference tournaments are pretty much all day, every day, into Selection Sunday, into the NCAA tournament. By the time you're a week or two into the NCAA tournament, baseball has started, Masters for people that like golf is not far around the corner, and then once that stuff ends, then you go right into the NBA playoffs, and then, it's warm out, baseball's on every day. And you get into the spring, the summer, and the cycle goes on and on. But it's really these couple of weeks where it's still cold and dark here on the East Coast. And it's you are getting there. You are getting there a little bit, even though it's only the first couple of days of February. You start to look out the window at 5 o'clock, 5:15. It's still light out. And you can sense that you're getting closer to more exciting times and just better weather, man. I can't remember a winter this brutal in terms of, and today's not that bad, but cold and snow, and it's all over the country. I know doing the Bear Bets podcast with Bear and Sammy P and Jeff was saying down in, I think he lives in Charlotte, somewhere in North Carolina, they just got a ton of snow. He's never seen this much snow, and it's just, it's miserable, and it really does kind of bum me out. But brighter days ahead, and we obviously have a Super Bowl on Sunday. We'll talk about that with Kelly coming up. I don't have anything new. The line is about the same. The totals ticked down from open. I mentioned I like the Ken Walker under rushing yards. I like Henderson over receiving yards. First quarter under. I lean towards under in the game. I do think, especially early, there will be a feeling out process. Both teams a little tight. Both quarterbacks never played in the Super Bowl. Darnold could be turnover prone. Probably don't want to lose it early. May has been turnover prone in the playoffs. Don't want to lose it early. I could see these teams trading punts two or three times before the offense gets going. That's typically how the Super Bowl plays out, where first half is low scoring, second half is higher scoring. That is a prop that is available out there. And so many different books, so many different markets, but if you can find that one, and that is, DraftKings does have it, second half to be the highest scoring half, that's usually a pretty good bet. I mean, think back to last year, 62 points scored in the game. Game was 7-0 middle of the second quarter. So that is, I don't say typical of a Super Bowl, but that is not unusual, where Not much happening, and then boom, you get an explosion of points in the second half. I think back to, I was doing the show Friday night with humans. We were talking about, it might have been last week, we were talking about the Panthers-Patriots Super Bowl in, what was that, 2003 season. So the 2003 Super Bowl, February of 2004, that was scoreless until like 3 minutes left in the half, and it somehow went 14-10 at half, and then nobody scored again in the third quarter. So nobody scored in the first quarter, nobody scored in the first like 12 minutes of the second quarter, and it's somehow 14-10 at half. And then the third quarter, nobody scored, and then it ends up just being back and forth. So the scoring runs in that game were very bizarre and end up being a 32-29 win for New England. But that's how it happens, I would say, often, but occasionally in the Super Bowl, you get these slow start, and then boom, you get a bunch of points, a bunch of fireworks later on, and early on, there is a little bit of a feeling out process. But getting excited. It does get a little tedious, but not as talking about the same game for 2 weeks. I think we've done a nice job spacing it, pacing it out. You just don't want to beat a dead horse. But by the time it gets around, you start to get Saturday, Sunday, it's like, all right, this is the Super Bowl. It's exciting. It's you crown a champion. And I grew up in the 90s when the game was really never good. I remember the first 5-6 years watching the Super Bowl was just blowout after blowout. Cowboys and Bills. Chargers and 49ers was an all-time just perfect example of a mismatch. The NFC used to be really dominant in the Super Bowl, and it used to be blowouts. And then eventually it was the Packers-Broncos in 97 where AFC won. It was close. It was an exciting finish. I think Green Bay let him score, and I think that was a controversial play. I remember that being one of the first like controversial talk radio plays the next day, where everyone had an opinion: should they have let him score? Should they try to stop him? As Denver pulled off the upset, I think that line got all the way up to 10, 11, maybe even a little bit higher. But Denver pulled off the upset and then won it again next year. But before that, it was a lot of blowouts. It was a lot of NFC. It was a lot of Cowboys and 49ers and Packers. Well, I guess the Packers-Patriots one was the year before that. And that one was actually pretty close. Packers got off to a big lead. Patriots, we had a lead in the fourth quarter at some point. And then Desmond Howard with the kick return. And Green Bay won. And Parcells was going to become, or was attempting to become, the first coach to ever win a Super Bowl with two different teams. Belichick was on the staff. It's funny to think back now. Belichick, the defensive coordinator for the Patriots, and everything that's happened since. But I would say if you're younger, you got a pretty good run here of Super Bowls for the most part. Not a ton of blowouts. You know, last year was a blowout. Seahawks-Broncos was a blowout. Bucks-Chiefs wasn't good 5 or 6 years ago, the COVID year, 2020. But yeah, Chiefs-49ers, both of those were good. The second one went to overtime. The Chiefs-Eagles one was obviously really good. Rams-Bengals was a last-second score, and the Bengals had a chance to tie, couldn't do it. So for the most part, the last 10, 15-plus years, you know, all the Brady ones were relatively competitive. Brady was never – it's funny. For all the Super Bowls Brady was in, I guess at least with the Patriots, he never was blown out, and he never really blew anybody out. The one against the Rams, the second one, was a low-scoring game. That was close, and then it ended up 13-3, and nothing really happened in the game. But all of his games were kind of either-or games, one-possession games. The first Philly one – where they won. I remember they were up 10 in Philly. I think got a backdoor touchdown late. That's the infamous McNabb drive that took forever to get them in the end zone. But for the most part, we've had pretty good Super Bowls the last 15, 20 years. And I think it's indicative of the era we're in, with just all of the parity, not these dominant teams like you had before. There was no salary cap, but you could just stack your Cowboys team or stack the 49ers team and just be loaded with superstars and just be a good 10 or 14 points better than the team you're facing in the title game. It's not the case anymore. It's a league of parity. So I think we'll get a good game. I think Seattle's going to win. I think the consensus, man, I haven't heard too many say, you know what, it's going to be a blowout for Seattle. I haven't heard that many people think the Patriots are going to win. I think for the most part, the consensus opinion, at least the people I've talked to or listened to, I should say, or both, is that Seattle wins a reasonably competitive game. They win by a score, maybe two scores. They win by a field goal. I've heard that. I've heard people say this line's a touch too high and Seattle should be favored by a field goal, which is not crazy. The look-ahead line was 3, 3.5, so it's not crazy to say this line is inflated by a touch, but we'll see. We'll do a little bit more on it Friday, and then eventually Sunday we'll have the Super Bowl. We'll react to it after for the Monday show, and then we will turn the page towards other things in next season. But coming up next, it is Kelly Bidlin. We'll get his thoughts on this game, NBA trade deadline, golf. That is next. This should have been more podcast. All right, we're back. Should have been more podcast. You can catch him a numbers game, long shots, where he does a fantastic job, more than just a producer, and he joins us now. It is Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, the Super Bowl is on Sunday. Not sure you heard. What's going on? Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Will. Yeah, Super Bowl's on Sunday. Whoa, when did that happen? I'm ready. I mailed in after the Pro Bowl. You know that, Will. I'm all about tonight.
Spoiler alert. People won't hear this till Wednesday, so no Pro Bowl spoilers. We will we'll do a deep dive on our next show. But a lot to get to, just some NBA trade deadlines, some golf. But let's start with the Super Bowl. A lot of people I've talked to, heard, have had on. Not a lot of people have had conviction on the side. I get the sense you're different. You like Seattle here laying the points?
Yeah, I do, Will. I do. I thought this was going to be closer. I didn't think we would see six at open. I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen six on this side yet, though. And look, maybe we're just waiting for some of the betting to still come in. Obviously, we know it's the Super Bowl. All these bets come in so late. We see this line move then. Yeah, I wanted to see if we were going to get maybe a muted, shorter money line on Seattle. I just finally decided over the weekend. I was like, you know what? These Super Bowl side in total, they just get, you know, get built, bet into, and these lines baked early on, and then it's just kind of just sit there for 2 weeks. So, look, I think if you're interested in Seattle, if you want to go play a shorter money line, maybe wait around for Saturday, Sunday, and jump in then. I just didn't feel like waiting anymore. So, yeah, I sold out to 5.5, laid that at 102, and then I laid 9.5 at plus 190 with Seattle, and then played a little first quarter with them as well. But yeah, I like Seattle here. I mean, look, this is a we knew forever. It was Rams and Seahawks. I thought were the two best teams in the NFC and then the NFL because of that. They meet in the NFC Championship game. I had an NFC ticket on Seattle. Don't ask me why I didn't also bet a Super Bowl ticket then. Seems like it would have made sense. That was good cash 2 weeks ago in the NFC Championship game. And, like, the Patriots, I'm not shocked they're here, Will. Like, the AFC had its question marks throughout the entire season. I'm not shocked the Patriots end up here. I think it's still fair to question, though, what this team really is. And, yeah, they played some great defenses, but, man, you had that crazy turnover game from C.J. Stroud and the Texans. You get the crazy weather in Denver. I just think this is a far less battle-tested team for what they went through in the regular season and the playoffs for what they're going to walk into in the Super Bowl. And Seattle, meanwhile, extremely tested.
Are you of the belief that it's going to be hard to beat Darnold? Is there somebody that's worth a flyer in terms of MVP in your mind?
I cannot remember being less interested in the Super Bowl MVP market. I think it's probably Darnold.
I agree.
I think it's probably Darnold, but, like, it's just not that great of, like, do you remember the MVP being less interesting to bet? Like, the market basically tells you there's, like, only six guys that are live for this, right? It's like I kind of think they're right. I think you're going to hear a lot of people making a case to try to get something creative on the defensive side of the ball. And, look, man, you want to make a small bet and go do something fun like that? Sure, go ahead. I think the 100-to-1 odds, though, are completely fair, or should even be longer. Do I think there's a chance we could get a crazy standout defensive performance from someone on Seattle and they take it? Sure. I would love to see what happens if JSN just has a monster day. You know what I mean? It really is like the vast majority of Darnold's yardage there. I don't know. I think that's where me and Gil disagree a little bit. I think JSN has gotten a lot of, and rightfully so, a lot of press this year for how important and good he's been for that team. I wouldn't be shocked if it ended up going to him if he has a monster game. But, yeah, man, I mean, I think at plus 130, wherever you can bet it at right now, with a minus 230 money line out there, yeah, Darnold's probably the best bet to make.
What would you bet if all the numbers that are available now that have settled where they currently are, you can only bet one in terms of, like, the props? And I'll give you a first quarter under, whatever you want besides side and total. What would be your one that you'd have most confidence in?
Only other thing I've bet, Drake May over his rushing yards, which I do think that is going to be one of the most bet on props. I haven't seen any of those numbers yet. I don't know if you have, but, like, I kind of, when I bet it as soon as it got released, I was like, I heard Mike Savage say it on Sharp Money Pod, and I was like, yeah, he's right. Like, this is going to be one of, if not the most bet prop out there. So if you wanted to get in on it, it was early, right? Overs early, unders late. Continues to be a thing. It's up to like 37.5 now. I think I got it at 33.5. I think it's a little game state independent. I really do. I think when we've seen the Patriots play well in the playoffs, he's gone over this number twice, uses his legs as part of the offense. And I wouldn't be shocked if this gets into a negative game state where they're playing catch up throughout. And, okay, the backs kind of don't get handed the ball off, but Drake May's going out there just backyard football looking to make things happen, spreading receivers out wide, and might take off, just tuck it and take off with it. So I like May over his rushing yards. I do.
What's the final score of the game?
Let me be consistent here and make sure I say the exact same thing that I put in the VEASAN guide. Oh, wait, no, I can't find it. 27-17, I think, is what I had in there. I'm going to go with that. 27-17.
Wow, that's what I had. Oh, man.
There you go.
That's my score.
Can't remember. All right, we got the same score. I can't remember if I went 27-17 or 27-14. It was one of those two, though.
It's funny because I don't know if you saw. I got to find out what book. Matt Ewens was talking about it. Somebody has, will the final score of the Super Bowl match a Super Bowl final score from a previous year, any previous year? Oh, and the funny. Yes was plus 400. I thought that was a fun one. You get access to like 58 different scores. One has been the only repeat score in the Super Bowl is I looked over. Maybe I missed one. But 27-17 has been a score twice in the Super Bowl. Everything else has been a unique score to the Super Bowl. But that's at least, I thought, a fun one, an interesting one.
Yeah, I like it. It's like
we'll
like
move on here. Anything else on the game before we move on? Yeah, exactly.
That's all I've bet so far. I will end up with some blue Gatorade as kind of my little fun bet for the game.
Okay.
Blue Gatorade is just the best Gatorade. You have multiple flavors that count there for blue. So, yeah, I'm going to end up on that.
Who even has that anymore, Gatorade, the Gatorade thing?
FanDuel has it up. FanDuel, DraftKings.
Okay.
Those books have it up. I don't know. Okay. Will, that might be it, man. I'm sure I'll add a couple things over the weekend as we get closer. But I think as far as bets that I'm going to have for this game, that's it. And even Seattle, man, I know I just spat out three bets. I was on them big against San Francisco. and then had an NFC ticket to play with against the Rams. I don't know about you, man. I really, outside of that San Francisco game with Seattle, I haven't really put a big bet in at all this playoffs. It's kind of the same thing with the Super Bowl. I'm not going to be shocked if the Patriots make this a game. I do think there's probably too many of us thinking this is just a Seattle walk away. But that defense, I won't be shocked if Darnold runs into some problems. And Drake Bay's good, man. He's good. If he keeps him in this game, I'm not going to be shocked by it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I haven't, like most people you listen to, do think Seattle is going to win, but I haven't heard overwhelming conviction, like I said, on both sides. That's why when you said you like Seattle, that's to me, that's unique. Where if I think if you ask most people will say Seattle, but I don't hear a lot of people say, oh, they have no, Patriots have no chance. Yeah. This is going to be a blowout. I think most people think Seattle is going to win a pretty reasonably competitive game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a very good chance of that. Look, I think it should be closer to six, but that's just kind of where I've got these two teams rated at. Obviously, we know this lands a field goal one way or the other. I'm not going to be surprised by it.
All right, NBA, by the time people listen to this, maybe there will be more clarity. But, I mean, I have been of the belief that 60-40, Giannis doesn't get traded. He's hurt right now. The offers aren't great. I just kind of think it makes more sense to wait in the summer. Maybe somebody loses earlier than expected in the playoffs, and the Spurs, the Rockets, the Thunder even. Somebody panics. Somebody gets desperate. Somebody revisits their position on trading for him. So I think it waits to the summer. It sounds like it's headed that way. Is that kind of how you see it?
Man, there's a lot to comb through from today before I can confidently say that, Will. But yeah, I think so. I mean, unless Minnesota's setting up for a move here, which it looks like that could be the case. Them, Detroit, Chicago had that three-team trade.
What does that deal look like, though? Like, what is the centerpiece of that?
It's a great question. Julius Randle, and I don't
Thank
know.
Thank you.
I mean, it's going to be Anthony Edwards, yeah. And just like nobody else left.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. That's what I've thought with this whole market. It's like you go through the teams, either it doesn't make sense for the team or it doesn't make sense for Milwaukee, who, let's face it, once you trade Giannis, you better get something to set you up because you don't have any of your picks. You don't control your picks for a while. Yeah, you get a swap this year and you get the worst of your pick, and I think the Pelicans pick, but. You have to satisfy a lot of parties, and it's just like, all right, Minnesota would make sense, but what do they have to give you? Bulls were in the mix. Like, all right, why does he want to go to the Bulls, and what are the Bulls going to do with him? I don't find a logical partner. The team I thought, really, since last year when the Spurs got the second pick the night of the lottery, I thought the Spurs were the perfect team, but the Spurs don't seem to want to go down that road, so I don't know where that leaves us.
Well, I get it now, right? Like, I bet them at Cauchy early in the season for him to Spurs to end up with him. And just, I get it now, though, right? Like, this team has played way better than I thought they were going to. I don't think you need to move heaven and earth for Giannis. You got Wemby, you've got, shoot, somehow this is all even going better than you expected, probably, with Wembanyama. Yeah, I mean, like, it's been a couple years of, like, major injuries and setbacks for him, and this team is still playing great, one of the best teams in the Western Conference. So, I get it. There's a couple others, though. Like, someone explained to me Atlanta. Right, like, why are they out of this race? And it really seemed like what they were doing with Trae Young was to really set themselves up to even further make a move for Giannis. So I don't really get that one. I think what we're likely going to see, Will, this is my guess, my best guess, is I'm with you. I from early on, or, you know, the past couple weeks at least, and even right now, I still think it's better chance that he's still on the Bucks come next week, come Friday, and that they'd figure out something in the offseason. I think you're making, and you're seeing a lot of teams send in trade proposals right now that kind of give them a framework of what they're going to go off of in the offseason. But yeah, if it does get done before then, I do think it is probably a Golden State or a Minnesota or one of these teams that you make the move to go win now. But you know, even that, you mentioned Giannis being hurt. It's somehow not talked about enough right now. Like, he's still hurt. We don't know for sure. We saw Doc Rivers say the other day that he would come back and play this season, but like, we don't know when that is.
And that's the thing. It's a complicated deal on a lot of levels. And part of it is you're giving up a couple of rotation players. You get worse immediately. Well, you got Giannis come back. Well, you don't have Giannis tonight, tomorrow, right, next week. So it's like, I don't know where that leaves you. And plus, you know,
I mean,
you,
that's the Knicks knock, right? Yeah, like, that's the Knicks.
Yeah.
Like, you can't make this trade, New York. Like, you're in the thick of it in the Eastern Conference. Your team is playing great right now. You're going to ship off a couple of those pieces and wait for Giannis to be healthy? You could spiral out of
control. And the thing with a team like the Hawks. Yeah, and the thing like a team with the Hawks and a lot of these teams, You know, I think it restricts them. It's like, all right, we giving up all we're going to give up for Giannis. Are we a Giannis away from winning the finals, making the finals? If the answer is not a resounding yes, with the price tag it's going to come with, he's 31. He's hurt a lot. He can't shoot, so I don't know how well he's going to age. Obviously, there's some value on him, but is that like you got to be at a certain level to go all in? I just don't know how many of those teams are. It's fascinating. I don't think he's going.
Yeah, it's the only reason I'll slightly disagree is you still get to say, and this is where Milwaukee always got to say this. They could still say this if he ends up on the team. If you make it in the playoffs, you got the best team in the Eastern Conference or best player in the Eastern Conference. And while that might not immediately boost you into, you can win a championship, I don't think I can argue with anybody who wants to say Giannis is good enough to get it done in the East. These are flawed teams in the Eastern Conference. I think you get hot at the right time, you could make a run if you're an Atlanta team like that with him. So I think it's interesting. I think you're, you know, what are the Heat? I think the Heat are a great question mark, right? Like, this is a team like New York. It makes more sense that they can trade more once we get into the offseason. I'm also not, like, Pat Riley's been trying to get this guy in Miami for the past, like, 5 years. Like, he is at the end of his rope as far as how much time he has left, what he's going to, you know, he's going to try to do everything he can to make one last splash while he's in that front office with Miami. So, I'm never counting out Pat Riley. But, you know, that guy might have just lost his fastball, too. It's been several years now since he's been able to pull off exactly what he wanted to pull off down there. But, I just think, meanwhile, I think over these next couple of days, we are going to continue to see, you know, maybe trades on the margins to help set up teams to make a generous offer to Milwaukee, while also teams are operating just for the future with this conversation, right, to the offseason. I think with a player of his quality and where he's at in his career, I think it absolutely makes sense for all that to be happening. Good point. Who knows what Giannis looks like 5 years from now? This guy is still an absolute stud, driving the basketball, getting to the rim, one of the physically best players in the NBA. And I don't really believe the defense is fully gone or gone to a point where people think it is with him yet.
Oh, yeah. One of the two or three best players in the league, maybe on the right night. I don't know. Jokic is still the best. Then
he's a top five player.
SGA. Yeah, easily a top five player, might be a top two or three player. It's just he does miss a lot of games, and it's not just those like February injuries where you're giving him some rest. He's missing playoff games, and you know the other thing that complicates it too. Before we move on to some other stuff, is a team like Miami trades for him. Okay, like you got to give up all this stuff to get him. What is he left with? What is he playing with? So it's not like the whole reason he wants out of Milwaukee, he wants to play for championships. You go to Miami with everything they're going to have to give up to get you. It's not like you're going to be trying to win championships there. I guess it's a team that, you know, has assets that changes their opinion, or it's a team that can get him and set up the next big move this summer, like the Nets or something. I thought Toronto, maybe they just feel like they have nothing to lose, but we'll see. Any of these other moves you think, I don't know, I'll ask it this way. Do you think there's any other move coming that will trigger a bet for you? And, you know, Vucevic gets traded to the Celtics. That would tell me, with them moving Simons, that Tatum is probably on his way back sooner rather than later. But I'll give you the floor. Anything interest you in terms of this deadline?
Man, as far as, like, look, I think that one's a perfect example of, does this round out the Boston Celtics better with their roster to make a run in the playoffs, assuming Tatum gets back? Yes. I really think they're a better team today than they were yesterday. Meh, I don't know. Like, Simons was great so far this season. I don't really know how much left Vooch has for them for a long run here. That one's significant. I mean, honestly, the biggest move so far is just Jaren Jackson to Utah, right? Like, that, and it has nothing to do with playoff implications at all. But, man, you're talking about a Utah team that in theory, like, I don't know if I'll believe it until I see it, Will, but they're going to be rolling out Jaren Jackson Jr., Lowry Barkin, and Keontae George next year. All of a sudden, the Jazz are no longer just a laughingstock tanking team. And actually have some real pieces in there. That's probably the biggest move that we've seen so far. Otherwise, it's just everybody. And look, I think this is going to be pretty common in years to come. This is just small moves, people to fill out the rosters. I brought up the Wolves before because it was just getting rid of Mike Conley brought them below the first apron, which allows them to package these moves, players together in trades. You can't do that while you're up against the second apron. So that's what was big for them, but that's a good example of what's going on, right? A lot of these teams just don't have the money, you don't have the room, you don't have the tradable assets and can't find a partner to make the moves that you'd really like to make. So I think a lot more of that's going to have to be done in off seasons, and during the season we're going to see sprinkling important pieces.
Utah 350-1 at FanDuel to make the play-in.
Yeah, I don't think it's
happening. Waste of money, probably, right?
Yeah. Next year. That's about as soon as you can look.
Eight games out. Yeah, eight games. So is there an NBA bet right now, a future award, anything? Like, what would you bet if you had no NBA bets? Like, I want a little skin in the game. I want to bet something. Is there anything you'd recommend right now?
Well, definitely wait and see the next couple of days. I know that's the cop-out answer. I was hopefully going to go somewhere else. I think wait and see the next couple of days. Giannis is just so big. I mean, if he ends up on the Wolves, right? Like, you were talking about blowing up this entire Western Conference futures market and resetting that. And, you know, if obviously he goes somewhere else in the East. I think, though, let's just pretend everything stays as is right now. I'm probably betting Knicks or 76ers to win the Eastern Conference. That's probably where I'd make that bet.
I don't think the Sixers, I don't think they can do it to me again. I was on them the year before they got Harden. And maybe one other year, and it's tough. It's a brutal sweat.
It's a brutal sweat. I'll just say that Joel Embiid, some of these games here recently, I know it sounds corny because it's just Embiid is just constantly injured. I never thought we were going to see him play at this level again, though. Like, I really didn't. I thought he was done and washed, and some of these games that he's put up here recently are just, they're Embiid of a couple years ago. And if this is the type of guy that you get rolling into the playoffs, man, with VJ Edgecombe, with Tyrese Maxey's doing this year, and then, you know, Paul George.
Let me see him do it for three rounds, though. Who's in the finals?
Let's go. Again, if everything remains as is, let's go Knicks and Nuggets.
Knicks and Nuggets. Jokic at MSG. Boy, that would be a hot ticket. Yeah. I can't imagine what those tickets would go for at Madison Square Garden after all this time away from the finals. That would be a fun final. That would be fun. I thought the Knicks were going to beat the Pacers last year. That Halliburton shot in game one, and that just – what a game. And I still can't believe they blew that game. That got everything off kilter. Nobody – I think that was the only team to break through. Home court held up throughout, and you know, that was pretty – oh, no, that's not true because it was 2-0. The Pacers actually got up 2-0, but that was the game where the Pacers – you know, really took control of the series. Waste management, golf, anything you bet, anything you'd recommend here?
Yeah, outright, I bet Cameron Young 26-1, Maverick McNealy at like 37, Chris Goddard up in the 40s. That's the entire outright card. I'm going light. I don't really like to bet into the winner without Scheffler Mark. It's just, if you're shopping around, you're just often going to find, you're not going to have as many books that post the winner without. You're usually going to find outright numbers elsewhere that just are far better than what you're getting in the winner without. So I'm skipping. Look, I'm that guy, right? I think if you're a golf bettor, you're either betting Scheffler, like you probably should be either betting Scheffler like every week or just not betting him at all and just taking those L's when they happen. That's kind of me. I'm going to dance around, hope to avoid Scheffler this week. But that's where I'm avoiding sinking too much money in the outright markets. I know the outrights are fun to hit. You know, it's great to hit a 45-1. It's even cooler to just grind out a profit every week. So that's all I'm trying to do. In top 10s, I have Cameron Young, Maverick McNealy. Top 20s on Chris Goddard, Jake Knapp, and Pearson Cootie. And a top 40 on Daniel Berger this week. So those top 10s, 20s, and 40s, a little bit more money sunk into, or definitely more money sunk into than the outright markets. But yeah, that's the card. I think I'm actually going to play Scheffler first round leader. Probably is like 10-1 there. This is just as far as the event. This is a absolute Scottie Scheffler course. He won at the Amex earlier this year, and I was kind of, you know, maybe a little embarrassed on air, but I was like, this is an event you can't bet Scottie Scheffler because this course is so easy that everybody's floor gets raised. Now, of course, he goes to win. You look like a bit of an idiot, but yeah, of course, Scottie Scheffler can win at any golf course. But then you go to a place like this, distance is required off the tee. The really, really good approach play is probably going to win this tournament. Putter doesn't matter as much. This is a Scottie Scheffler golf course. So I think you want to be careful. If you're like me and betting this week and don't have Scottie Scheffler on the card, just be careful.
All right, last one, Super Bowl snacks. What's on the menu? What are you going to have? What's your go-to here during the Super Bowl? I've been asking everyone that.
That's a great question. So I'm not a Super Bowl party guy. Gil and I will be on the air on a numbers game. And then we got to be back there Monday morning early. So usually I'm just
wait for the whole game. You're going to be on the air?
No. We are on before the game kicks.
Pre-game.
Yeah, pre-game. Okay. 9 o'clock Pacific, so noon Eastern. We'll be on. And then I'm jetting home watching the game. I'm just taking it easy. That's honestly been me for the past couple of years. Not really a big Super Bowl party.
But you're
going to
eat something. What are you going to eat? You're just not going to eat.
No, I'm going to eat. It will be Crown Royal whiskey. That will be getting consumed throughout the game. That's for sure. And I don't know what I'm going to eat yet. I don't really have like a traditional food. Like I'll probably grab some like chicken, you know, wings or like fried chicken or something like that.
Okay. If I get real creative, that's an acceptable answer. I was starting to get upset.
If I get creative, I'll actually like make something, you know, like before the game. But I really doubt you're getting that out of me this week.
Where are the best wings in Vegas?
Ooh, man, that's a good question. Naked City has really good ones.
I see the tweets; those look really good.
Those are very good. Haven't had those in a while. New York Joe's New York Pizza. They got really good wings out here too. Couple of the pizza joints. Yeah, they got some good ones. They got some good ones.
Kelly, you're the best, man. Where can we find you?
At Kelly Bidlin on Twitter. If you want more golf bets, go check out the Long Shots podcast. That will be up by the time you're listening to this podcast.
Rate, review, subscribe. Thank you to Kelly Bidlin. We will be back on Friday. See you then.